to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by no one. The Lakers just finished playing. I'm actually going to be joined by you guys. We still have so many questions to get to. So I'll probably talk about the game here for the first segment or two, and then in the final segment, open up the mailbag and get to your guys' questions. Quick reminder, if you guys want your question or subject or topic covered on this show, make sure you leave your question or topic or subject in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes, and I will get to it, either with myself only or with Pete. And if you prefer one way or the other, probably not going to get many questions answered by just Pete, but if you want Pete and my opinion on something, leave that in the form of the 5-star review as well. Lakers wind up winning pretty easily. I was actually really impressed by this win for a couple reasons. One, playing without Anthony Davis, you just never quite know how things are going to go. And building off of that point, without Anthony Davis, Davis is the kind of player that just changes defenses. He's just that good. And, you know, it's not just the stuff on the interior or just the rebounding, but it's also his ability to clog up the perimeter and challenge shots from stretch fives, which the Warriors have. And I was actually really impressed by JaVale McGee in this game. I would venture to say he was probably one of the best, if not the best player on the court, other than LeBron. LeBron's pretty good. But JaVale McGee finishes the game with 18 points on 8 of 12 shooting. It was 8 of 11, and then he shot that like running sky hook. But you know what? He played so well that I'm fine with that. The game was over. He wanted to get one of those shots up, and he tried. But he finishes the game. This was the, you know, you guys know how I like to approach single game plus minus. I don't like to use it a bunch unless it's really, really loud. And in this case, JaVale's plus 30 is really, really loud. The Lakers wind up winning by 16 points. No, 26 points? I suck at math. 26 points. And look, not to say that they don't win this game without JaVale just based off of that math, but JaVale has come under fire quite a bit. In my own analysis on Twitter, his energy has been somewhat lacking. So it was really good to see him go out there and have a game like this. The of the 17 rebounds he pulled down, 5 were on the offensive glass. And, you know, any kind of extra possession against a defense as bad as Golden State's, that usually results in points. So those kinds of things, that's what we've been looking for. And you know, he had 3 blocks, but I also thought you always notice that. I think what's kind of been happening with him is you don't really feel him in the key. And that's kind of crazy given that he's this 7-foot athletic freak with crazy long arms and he's this really gangly guy who could theoretically challenge just about anything. But for some reason, you haven't really felt him as much. And I don't know how much of how good he looked tonight had to do with Anthony Davis not being there to clog up either the offensive or defensive sides. But whatever it was, JaVale played really, really well on a night that they really need, that the Lakers needed him to, and he gets props for that. The other big that the Lakers really needed stuff from, Dwight, came through in the way that you would hope that Dwight does. And it's kind of weird. So just like JaVale's plus 30 is really loud, Dwight's minus 4 is interestingly loud. I'm not sure what's going on there mathematically. That's one of those outliers that I think technically you could probably just write off. But, you know, maybe upon rewatch, I'll notice a few more things there. But I did feel like when the game was still kind of not really necessarily in the balance, the game was never really technically in the balance. The Lakers are still so much better. I was in charge of tweets for Silver Screen and Roll, and actually Nick Van Angstadt from Locked On Mavs, I tweeted from Silver Screen and Roll that I think this might be the worst defense of all time in the Golden State Warriors. And according to Basketball Reference, they're actually the second worst of all time, which when you think about it, yes, it would be funny if they actually were the worst defense of all time. And this dates back to 1974 when some of these stats and these metrics were still being taken. But when you think about all of the defenses in the history of basketball since 1974, that the Lakers faced the second worst one ever, that's really insane. And, you know, that was kind of the last point that I wanted to make here, is that when you're playing a defense that bad, it's really easy for you to just kind of sink into, well, we can score whenever we want, why get stops? But the Lakers didn't do that. They got the fans in attendance tacos the old school way. You didn't have to extend that out to 111 the way that they did this year. They gave up 94 points on 101 possessions on the game for Golden State. That's good defense. And yes, it's not a good team. It's probably one of the worst teams in the NBA. It's between them and the Knicks, I think. And I thought the Lakers handled themselves well in one of those trap games that they could have won, but they could have won in an ugly way that left an ugly taste in your mouth. But they didn't do that. They were able to win. LeBron only played, 30 minutes? I'll take that. Or no, LeBron played 26 minutes. Kuzma was the one who played 30 minutes, which I'll talk about Kuzma here in the second segment. But LeBron plays 26 minutes. Anthony Davis doesn't play at all. Given the kind of strain and tear that the Lakers have been putting on those guys in order to get wins throughout this year, it was great to see them go out and take care of business the way that they did without forcing those guys to play, LeBron especially, forcing him to play more minutes than he had to against an inferior opponent. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, I want to talk about Kyle Kuzma. I want to talk about Jared Dudley. My boy hasn't missed from three all year. Let's go Elmer Fudley. I want to talk about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He tweaked what appeared to be his Achilles, but we're still waiting on official word. The Lakers called it an ankle injury, and the x-rays came back negative, so that's good news. Though I do think there's some stuff to talk about there with KCP on the other end of that. And then again, in the third segment, I'm going to open it up and take questions from you guys from the iTunes mailbag. So hang tight. We'll come back to that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by mybookie.ag. No official bet today. We're going to do that tomorrow with Pete. But I do want to say that mybookie.ag is the fastest way to get your money in after you make bets. When you win those bets, anybody who bet on the Lakers, I believe, won pretty easily last night. So go to mybookie.ag, and if you're a first-time user, enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get double your cash input. Again, that's mybookie.ag. Put in promo code LOCKEDONNBA and get your money as quickly as you possibly can after you double your initial cash input. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, let's start here really quickly with the lone, I guess, bad news on the night. It is bad news. It definitely is bad news. I don't like seeing athletes get hurt. This has been how I've felt about Rajon Rondo while he was hurt. I don't like that KCP got hurt. Yes, he has been memed at length by Lakers Twitter and every Laker fan out there on Twitter. Yes, he does things that really make you scratch your head. At one point tonight, I think he got a wedgie on a layup that literally made the entire Lakers bench laugh. I thought that was a really fun, lighthearted moment. But, like, you don't like seeing a player get hurt. And he went up for a layup late in the game, late-ish in the game, and landed. And it was one of those plays where he landed, and it didn't land on anybody, was turning, and was trying to stop himself. And when his heel planted, his knee was ahead of his foot, and it looked like he stretched out that Achilles. Again, I'm not an internet doctor here, but he did immediately go to grab not his ankle, but his Achilles. So I thought that was something that, you know, could be. Now, again, X-rays came back negative, no fractures of the ankle, and the Lakers say that it's an ankle injury. So maybe you never know with how the Lakers diagnose injuries or whatever, but we pretty clearly saw him grab at his Achilles there on that play. And I'm not saying that he ruptured it. I think that you can simply strain an Achilles, and it can still be really painful. But it could be, you know, a strained calf, strained Achilles, something back there that, you know, you really feel. So here's hoping that he comes back in a quick manner, because while he has been the butt of all these jokes, he is one of the Lakers' better perimeter defenders, and I believe was among the Lakers' leaders in net rating so far this year. So, you don't like seeing athletes get hurt, no matter how many jokes have been made about that player. And for somebody like KCP, who, you know, has been, despite the jokes and despite the boos and stuff, the way that he still does kind of focus on defense, that kind of stuff matters. And so I'm looking at the net ratings right now, and he's dropped a little bit. Now, a lot of the net ratings that you're looking at are going to be a little higher because the Lakers just blew somebody out, and it's still small sample sizes. But Quinn Cook is at the top with 13.1. LeBron is at 11.9. Danny Green, 11.3. Dwight Howard, 11.3. JaVale, 11.3. Avery Bradley, 9.3. AD at 9. Caruso at 8.1. And then there's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope there at 7.8. The Lakers are scoring 100.2 points per 100 possessions while he's on the court, and only giving up 95. He's one of defensive ratings while players are on the court. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is second on the team for anybody who's played any kind of meaningful minutes. Alex Caruso, the Lakers give up 93.8 points per 100 possessions when he's on the court, and then Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is right behind him at 95.0. So KCP is doing something right out there on defense, and the Lakers would really miss him if he misses considerable time with a strained Achilles. We'll see how this goes. My guess is the Lakers are probably going to consider him day-to-day without giving us any kind of definitive information on that front. It would be too bad if they went by that process again, but that's just kind of who they are at this point. All right, let's move on to good news, continued good news. I talked about Kyle Kuzma. I kind of alluded to him. He played 30 minutes, shot 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3-point range, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, finishes second behind Dwight Howard as a plus 21, and scored 22 points, 2 assists, 5 rebounds. It was a good game for him. I thought it was a nice game for him, and I thought it was the kind of game. I wrote the preview for Silver Screen, and in writing it, I kind of thought this was another game that he could get his momentum, continue to get that momentum back. Golden State is so bad on defense that just about anybody who was hoping to do some scoring tonight was probably going to be able to do some scoring. And Kuzma was no different. The thing that I like about Kuzma in watching him play, especially the last two games, is it really looks like he's starting to understand where his shots are going to come from. That helps in two facets. One, obviously, he'll have better rhythm going into those shots during the course of a game. But also, he'll know what to practice, what to focus on practice. He and Phil Handy can come together, watch tape, understand what kinds of shots that he's probably going to be getting, and focus on those things and really continue to work on them. So, great game there by Kyle Kuzma. The Lakers are really going to need him. As Pete and I say, he's the only player in the rotation who can legitimately improve over the course of the season. And as he improves, the Lakers' ceiling gets higher. So, and we've literally seen it while Kyle Kuzma has been coming back. I think we've seen the Lakers' ceiling kind of rise as he goes. The Lakers are going to be as good as LeBron James and Anthony Davis make them. But for their overall ceiling and their margin for error, I think Kyle Kuzma does a lot to extend that. His improvement will do a lot to extend that. And tonight, or last night, by the time you guys are listening to this, was a really good example of that. Let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, I want to answer your guys' questions. So let's do that here in a bit. Before I get to the questions, can we please get D'Angelo Russell some help? It's like sad watching him play out there. Yes, it's probably the kind of situation that, you know, you see. I don't think he's going to be an all-star. He'll probably put up all-star kind of numbers, but there are going to be so many good guards on good teams that he's probably going to be left out in the dark. I believe he came into this game averaging 38 points over the last three games, and I believe met that average or came close to it. He was on fire there for a little bit. Nope, never mind. I don't know what I was watching. He scored 21 points. I'm an idiot. But yeah, I just, it's sad to watch him there. You're D'Angelo Russell, and yes, you get traded basically for Kevin Durant, so you know you're going to a lesser team, and then you show up and you're like, oh, Klay Thompson isn't going to play at all this year, huh? Oh, Draymond Green's fat again. That's great. Oh, great. Yeah, so sure. Steph Curry, wear an oven mitt for half of the year. I guess I'll sign up to play with Jordan Poole and Willie Cauley-Stein and Marquise Chris. Yeah, this sounds amazing. Poor dude. I feel bad for the guy. I hope he gets traded at some point this year, though I don't think they will. I think Golden State kind of knows what's up. They'll just consider this a lost year. Draft somebody in the high up in the lottery next year and see if they can rebound next season. Anywho, about the Lakers. The first question here comes from Jesse the Laker fan. Hi, Anthony/Pete. Hope all is well. It is. Lakers just won. Did you anticipate this new Lakers squad getting off to such a hot start? And what surprised you the most about this 7-1, now 9-2 start? Also, quick note. Over the summer, I remember you saying how weird it was that a lot of Laker fans were Raider fans. I don't recall saying that. I understand the connection. I believe it's because they were in LA at one point and won a Super Bowl. With that being said, I am one of those fans and heading to the Bay Area to watch a game in the infamous Black Hole. Ever been? I haven't, sorry. Recommend me one spot I must go. Let's go, Lakers. So, regarding the Lakers and Raiders, I'm not surprised at all that there's a connection there. They're two LA teams. The Raiders actually stayed on the West Coast. I think that's why the Rams lost quite a few fans, and the Chargers have always been in San Diego, so I coming here and hoping to gain some kind of foothold with in a city that already had two professional football teams. Nice move, idiots. But anywho, regarding the Lakers' hot start, I thought they could get off to a really good start. The schedule at the time looked pretty easy, pretty appealing. Now, what's interesting is that the schedule, it turns out, has been much harder than we thought it would be, and the Lakers still got out to that hot start. And what's really wild is that you're looking at this team at 9-2, and there are very tangible ways that they can continue to get better. The shooting could come around. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to continue to build chemistry together. Kyle Kuzma is going to continue to improve. They could add Andre Iguodala. There are just so many ways that the Lakers can continue to get better. And yeah, you could say that about a lot of the teams out there. Denver has kind of sleepwalked through the opening to their season and yet are still competitive right there with the Lakers record-wise. The Clippers, yes, they lost to the Houston Rockets, but they have been fine overall and are getting Paul George back. So while the Lakers can continue to improve, so can their competition. And it's what makes this season so fascinating. It makes this season so fun that there are so many contenders, and the Lakers happening to be one with, I would maybe argue, the highest upside of any of these teams. That's pretty exciting. So it's been a great year so far. I'm not going to go so far as to say that I saw exactly this coming, because who saw like the Phoenix Suns being competitive and the Golden State Warriors being this bad? But I did see them getting out to a pretty nice start, and it's nice that they've met, if not exceeded, my expectations in that regard. Let's go. N. Moody 30 writes, I know the Daniels and Cook's minutes are probably going to go to Rondo, but why not give Dudley some of them? A solid defender who might actually make an open shot for a change. Watching Daniels and Cook miss without helping on the defensive end has been hard to watch. Jared Dudley has yet to miss a three-pointer this season. It's wild. Now, he was about to miss one, but there was a whistle, and I think Dwight Howard kicked the ball out to Dudley, and he shot the three-pointer. It looked like it was going to be short. It got goaltended because that's what players do nowadays, and it was whistled dead anyway. But so far this year, the only shot that Jared Dudley has missed has been like a contested layup at the rim, which, of course, Jared Dudley missed a contested layup at the rim. He has my body type. It's going to be hard to find Dudley minutes because LeBron James plays his position, Kyle Kuzma plays his position, and Anthony Davis sometimes plays his position, the four. So you're talking about three of the Lakers' top three priority guys in terms of minutes at the position that Jared Dudley happens to play at, and that makes it difficult to find him minutes. So yes, I agree that they should try to find him minutes, but when you think about who would be giving up those minutes, you kind of understand why it's been hard to get him into the game. I also want to touch on the Cook and Daniels minutes just going to Rondo. I can understand why people might feel that way. Hell, I kind of feel that way, and it's something I'm a little worried about. I don't want to see the Lakers to grow overly reliant upon Rondo, but Rondo does things that Cook and Daniels don't do. And so Cook and Daniels, there's a lot of overlap in their skill sets, and Rondo, there's very little overlap in those guys' skill sets. So what you're going to wind up having here is a situation where Daniels comes into the game, and if he's hitting, then he'll get the majority of minutes on any given night. Cook comes into the game, and if he's hitting, or depending on what the Lakers need out of that position, then he'll get those minutes that night. But I would imagine between the four point guards, Avery Bradley not included here because he's not really a true point guard, I think Alex Caruso has earned himself minutes on the defensive end. Rajon Rondo has earned himself minutes as based on reputation, basically, but also as a creator that the Lakers don't really have otherwise from that position. And then it comes down to who is shooting better between Quinn Cook and Troy Daniels. I think that's always how the point guard rotation was going to play out amongst the Lakers' true point guards. But I think that's met those expectations for me so far. Let's get another question in here. So Big Timer writes, love the show. When do we start giving Rob Pelinka some credit for the roster? I'm okay with waiting till the All-Star break, but if everyone wants to wait till the title is done, that is fine too. I don't think it should take a title to give praise if it gets to be that close, right? So if the Lakers make it to the NBA Finals, that to me seems like a win. If it's a close Western Conference Finals that the Lakers barely lose in a 7-game series, then I would consider that a win on the season. I still think it's way too early to give Pelinka that much credit on this front. But I will say, though, that compared to last year, this is an exponentially better job of putting together a roster that makes sense around not only LeBron James, but also Anthony Davis. Last year's roster was an abomination. The job that the front office did last year to put a roster around LeBron was just... I shudder at the thought, honestly. But this year's roster makes a lot of sense, and it's as competitive as any in the NBA. And I think that's perfectly fine given where we are in the season right now. Shuba Modern in San Carlos writes, which past Lakers role player would you add to LeBron and AD to make the best overall team ever? So I've answered this in a different way previously. A version of this question has already been answered, so I'm going to find a different way to answer it. I'm just going to make it the third best player on a LeBron and AD team. What does that role player look like? And I think it's just, I talked about Malcolm Brogdon the other day, but it's that kind of a point guard. It's a big defensive-minded point guard who hits open three-pointers and doesn't turn the ball over. That's what I need there. From there, you know, if it can't be that kind of a player, I think Danny Green is a great example of a role player that you want next to LeBron and AD. An extremely low usage shooting guard who's solid on the defensive end. I think that's a good one. We've seen the value that a big like Dwight Howard brings, though Dwight is a Hall of Famer playing, you know, way above expectations. So I don't know if he necessarily fits as your prototypical or stereotypical role player. But in this case, like, any kind of player along those lines would be perfectly fine. I'm just biased because I'm a point guard. I played point guard when I was still in decent enough shape to be able to play basketball. And I think there's a lot of value in having somebody who thinks like a point guard out there. The thing about a point guard, too, is that when either LeBron or AD is out, well, now you have a creator on the court to help as well. When those two guys are out there on the court, well, Brogdon could technically space the floor and allow those guys to operate with as much space as you can possibly get. So he helps, that kind of a player helps in either kind of situation, and that's what you need in a role player. Trip Before C writes, what would you and Pete do if the finals were Lakers and Celtics and the Lakers won this year? Run around naked in public? No, I'm kidding. No, what would I do? I would, man, covering. So I've been able to do this now for 7 years, and all seven of those years to this point have basically sucked from a basketball perspective. Going from that to now covering a Lakers championship would, I already throw out the idea, you know, I toss out the idea all the time that my dreams came true in being able to do this for a living, but the dream of my dream of my dreams would come true in being able to cover this team win a championship. I think the city is ready for it. And, you know, I talked about this on the Silver Screen and Roll Pod with Jass the time I went on with him, but it bears echoing. The sentiment bears echoing. What makes Dwight Howard's season so fun to watch, what makes his story so fun to take in, is the idea that you're watching a guy cherish something that he took for granted and damn near lost. And now, no, the Lakers, the city of LA never came close to losing the Lakers, obviously. But it did feel like for those 7 years or so that, like, where the F is this team going? Right? Where the hell is this team going? Are they ever going to get back to the heights that the fan base expects them to be at? And when it feels like you lost something like that, when it feels like you lost a part of your sports identity, the way that the city of Los Angeles felt like they probably lost the Lakers over the last 6 or 7 years, especially given the fact that it was Magic Johnson who it felt like drove the final nail into the coffin there. Like when you lose something like that and then get it back the way that this team could potentially give not just championship contention, but actually potentially an actual championship ring back to the city. Like it would make this next championship all the more special. Like Kobe talked about this as well, where after the three-peat, he realized in having to play alongside Smush Parker and having to play alongside Brian Cook and Travis Knight and Chris Mim and guys like that, that you realize, like, shit, I really took those three-peat years for granted. I really took Shaq and Derek Fisher and Robert Horry and Rick Fox and that collection of guys that won three straight championships. I took those experiences for granted because he was so young that you didn't quite understand what you had compared to what life in the NBA is for the vast majority of everybody else. For the vast majority of everybody else who roots for an NBA team, existing as a Laker fan is very different. It's hugely different. Just ask Nuggets fans. My buddy Adam feels like they're never going to win a championship. Imagine feeling like that about the Lakers. Knicks fans, what the hell is there to believe in out there with the Knicks in a big market? So Laker fans went from, man, we are incredibly blessed, but maybe don't take it quite. We don't understand what that necessarily means. You go from that to, wow, we may never. Can we go back to those days so I can value them properly? And then now you're going through this experience and you're saying, all right, I really got to understand what it is that we're watching here and what we might be able to enjoy again after having felt like we may never enjoy that ever again. And yeah, I think for like what it would mean if the Lakers especially beat the Celtics in the finals again, given where we came from, given the amount of hype that surrounded the Celtics over the last few years, right? Topping Danny Ainge after he refused to give up Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown for Anthony Davis, and then watching the Lakers with Anthony Davis beat the Celtics, that would be so freaking cool. That would be so effing cool. My fists are balled just thinking about it right now. That would be awesome. Sign me up for that shit. I'm pumped. I'm not going to sleep tonight. That's great. Let's answer one more question since I'm pumped. Moss House writes, first off, love the show. You do a great job. And your joy always comes through even when you're on a Rondo rant. If the Lakers were Marvel characters, who would they be? Would LeBron be Thanos, Hulk, or Black Panther? I personally say T'Challa because of his high IQ and commitment to making his community team and family better, or Vision because he also has an off-the-scale IQ but is endowed with otherworldly physical abilities. So I'm going to... They gives examples throughout here. I'll answer this by myself. It would be funny. Maybe I'll throw this out to Pete tomorrow too, just to see what his reaction is. But I'll answer this quickly here, and then we'll get you guys out of here to be able to enjoy the rest of your post Lakers win day. So I think I like, though, as I was reading the Black, when I first started reading the Black Panther example there with LeBron, I thought like, where are we heading down? But I like the belief in community aspect of that as well. I do think, though, that like if you're going to have LeBron, given how physically talented he is, you have to go either like Hulk or Thor or Thanos. Thanos is a bad guy, so I'm going to keep him out of here. So I'm just going to keep it to good guys. So I think I'd go with Hulk, because like somewhere in there, even when he goes full Hulk mode, there's an actual genius behind what's going on there. And I like that combination here for LeBron. So I'd probably make LeBron Hulk. Anthony Davis is probably like Thor, right? He's just this incredible specimen who's capable of doing things that no other character really in the universe is capable of. His reliance on the hammer or whatever weapon he has is a little iffy. But, you know, I'd put Anthony Davis there. Obviously, you make Danny Green Hawkeye. As much as Hawkeye sucks in the movies, but I would probably put Danny Green as Hawkeye there. Great outside shooter. Obviously, that's pretty easy. I would probably go, I mean, Alex Caruso is either like Ant-Man. No, I'd say like, I don't want to do the whole like only white guys get to be Captain America thing, but you know, you look at Alex Caruso, he's this really good athlete who just kind of fits in the gaps and displays leadership, a quiet kind of leadership to him. I like that about him. So I guess you could do that. Ant-Man is just, Alex Caruso as Ant-Man because people always kind of underestimate Ant-Man and then Alex Caruso dunks on your face. So I like that one. So either of those, let's see, Dwight Howard is, whew, man, I don't want, who's another just physical specimen? Groot? I'll make Dwight Howard Groot. I like that one. Dwight Howard is Groot. He's just, and by the way, like, all of the Guardians of the Galaxy, basically the universe, wouldn't be here if Groot didn't sacrifice himself for all these things. And if you look across the roster, very few players are making the kind of sacrifice Dwight Howard has so far this year to be able to make the team as good as it is. So I'll go with Dwight Howard as Groot. Those are my first few. I don't want to do all of this off the top of my head because then I just start stumbling around. So maybe I'll think about this more and then have a little better example. I'll build off of this for tomorrow. How's that for a tease? And then you guys also get to hear me kind of poke fun with, have some fun with Pete with his lack of Marvel understanding. So this was fun. Lakers win a fun one again, 120-94. They beat the Golden State Warriors. This is a Golden State Warriors team that more closely resembles the ones that we grew up with. They were a joke forever and then got really good randomly. And now, you know, we've had a return to normalcy. So that's kind of nice. So we have plenty of stuff to still get to for tomorrow's show. We're going to have a MyBookie bet, so you guys aren't going to want to miss that. So for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.